venturing into the last section of chapter 14 of the unveiling, and whew, this is going to be a great accomplishment for us all. Let's read it, starting with verse 14. 14, this goes through verse 20, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 7 verses. And let me make sure of this. Yes, 7 verses, and we are finished with chapter 14. Your fear is that I will take a week, this is Monday, to get through these 7 verses, and no, I'm not going to let that happen. But who knows? But no, I'm going to try to move on here. And I perceived, and lo, a white cloud. That's good news. You remember that verse depressed me before. I don't know why now. Something I was going through. But I see now it's a white cloud, and that's a good thing. And on the cloud, one, capital O, sitting like a son of mankind. Well, it is the son of mankind. And I think John knows that, but he says like. And I must be frank with you here. I don't understand why he says like a son of mankind, except that it's a humble thing, like Paul saying, speaking in the third person, I know of a man who 14 years ago was snatched away to the third heaven. It might be that kind of a thing. I'm going to look at it as a humble thing. So there's good news and bad news here in this section of chapter 14. The last 7 verses, hallelujah, of chapter 14. And beginning with 14 through 16, we're looking at the reaping of the earth of the good guys. And from verse 17 through verse 20, the reaping of the earth of the bad guys. Good guys, bad guys. This is the plan of the eons. There are good guys competing against bad guys. There are bad guys vexing good guys. It was that way nearly from the beginning. Well, you had 2 good guys, or 3 good guys. You had God, Christ, and Adam came on the earth, all good guys. But there was a bad guy very early on in the creation of God, and it was Satan. And so I'm writing about this in the ZWTF, about Roman, in Romans chapter 9, where God uses vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. He uses Jacob's and Esau's. He uses Pharaoh, of all people, to carry on his great purpose. In fact, he carries with patience vessels of dishonor so that they can perform their assigned duties. Yes, assigned duties. And so even those who are reaped in the second half of this section of chapter 14 and destroyed, they're not destroyed completely forever, because they are resurrected by God and they are eventually justified, because as in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. That is, made alive beyond the reach of death. Not only that, but through sin comes one man, through justification. Through another man, justification comes. Romans 5, 18 and 19, specifically 19. Let me go to that verse real quick. You notice how I'm kind of having to take you through a little bit of Paul, in and out of Paul, to survive chapter 14. So I'm going to Romans 5, just going to read one verse for you, and that's verse 19. For even as through the disobedience of the one man, see the parallel I'm drawing here? I'm drawing one people and another people, because in verses 14 through 16, Christ is coming down to reap the good people, and they're going to be reaped, and we'll see how, from the earth, taken from the earth. All this agricultural stuff, it's a figure of speech. He's not going to be literally coming with a sickle in his hand. Now, from 17 to 20, the bad people are taken off the earth. They're also reaped. One reaping is good, one reaping is bad. Good and bad. Yin and yang. Evil and good. This is God's way. Good people, bad people. Verse 19, Romans 5, for even as through the disobedience of the one man, that is Adam, the many were constituted sinners, thus also through the obedience of the one, capital O, the many shall be constituted just. That means justified. So that's the end of the matter for these individuals being reaped in the second half of this passage. They're being killed. Both people are being killed. And this reminds me of another great truth, that the Apostle Paul and Jeffrey Dahmer are both dead. They did kill Jeffrey Dahmer, didn't they? Please tell me they got rid of him from our society. Okay. Maybe I should stick with Adolf Hitler. Yeah, he's the go-to guy. I kind of wanted to switch it up a little bit for the bad guys. Yes, I could have used Billy Sunday, right? I do consider, yeah, he was the progenitor of Billy Graham. I do consider him one of the bad guys. That's right. Mind you, these people being reaped in the second half of this passage are also religious people. I'll tell you, religion is the evil that is vexing the saints today. So, one like a son of mankind, having a golden wreath, son of mankind there, having a golden wreath on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Why the golden wreath on his head? A wreath speaks of victory. Here is a victor coming. And he's on a white cloud. I perceive a white cloud. And on the cloud, one sitting as a son of mankind. So he's sitting. He's in a relaxed state. He's on a white cloud. White clouds are good. Black clouds are evil. You see how simple the book of Revelation can be. And he has a wreath because he has come out victorious from the battle against sin and death. And he conquered for the sake of all. And those saints on the earth in this time of the unveiling of Jesus Christ will be reaped by Jesus Christ. And why the sickle? Well, because of the sharp pain of death. Because I'm a little sorry to tell you that these are the ones that happy are the dead from this time forward. These are the ones who are being reaped. And look at this. It may very well be that the hatchet is coming down from some evil executioner under the direction of the state, that is, the wild beast. But nevertheless, behind it is the sickle of Christ. Let this comfort you. Paul says that we are not, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against sovereignties, principalities, and powers. That's the negative aspect of this thing. So when somebody comes against us and they're vexing us and trying us, we need to see behind them the agencies of Satan trying to discourage us and disqualify us from ruling and reigning with Christ, which they can do. They can do that, but they can't disqualify us for salvation. We're saved no matter what. You can fall apart. You can quit. You can walk away and you're still saved. The thing I want you to see is that this is the negative aspect of a positive thing that's happening in the unveiling. And I still think you can apply this to yourself because even though it's the black-hooded, stereotypical, fat-ass executioner that is beheading the saints in the book of Revelation, nevertheless, it is Christ behind the scenes. That's who John sees. And we get more description of him than the black-hooded, fat-ass executioner. What do we find out? He's on a white cloud. He's sitting like a son of mankind, having a golden wreath on his head, not an executioner's cowl, and a sharp sickle in his hand. And the sickle, interesting the symbolism used here of a harvest. While those on the earth think they're harvesting the earth from these enemies of God, like they did with Paul. The Roman state was getting rid of an enemy of God, Paul. And yet, was that not Jesus Christ's sickle, finally delivering Paul from his tiring, exhausting, laborious work? And the same with us. If God takes any of us, we're delivered from our persecutions, from our frustrations, from trying to get this message out. And so I can see this as the sickle of God, even though the sickle hurts, it's like, okay, it's sharp, and death hurts, except when you're beheaded, it's too fast. Pray to God they use a sharp blade. Nevertheless, it's still a pain, but it's so quick, and it's maybe intense, but yet it leads to ineffable bliss, unspeakable bliss, not the bliss of death, because death is not bliss, death is not existence. But it brings to the experience, the next moment is the consciousness of being with Jesus Christ. And another messenger came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who is sitting on the cloud, "Thrust in thy sickle and reap. For the hour came to reap, for the harvest of the earth is dried." This is the last moment. This is it. There are no more coming in at this time. There are no more coming in. There are no more who are designated for this boon. Yes, I said boon. For this great advantage, for this blessing of being murdered for the sake of Christ and thus earning the better resurrection. So, finally, and likewise now, I'm still keeping applying this to us, I want to do that, is there will come a day when there will be one last member of the body of Christ, and then there will be a sort of reaping here on earth, won't there? Christ will not come with a sickle, but he'll come by himself, and he'll come with joy to take us alive. You see, in the unveiling, these saints are going by way of death. That really corresponds to the Israelite message. Kind of hate to say that, but it's true. Now, the exception is the 144,000, they're sealed, okay? The vast throng, not so much. So, it's kind of consistent with the Israelite message. Death and then life. But we have a message of such grace that we don't necessarily need to go the way of death. We are harvested on our feet. We are a living harvest. Why not? Why not? Because Paul calls us living letters. We're living testimonies. The word of God dwells in us richly. We give that word to other people, and other people are blessed because of us. So we're living letters. We don't need to throw the Bible at people. We have the truth that the scriptures teach in us, and our words are gracious, and we give life to people. What reward do we get from people? Nothing. They would send the executioner out for us if they could. But what do we get? We get harvested while alive, a living harvest. I'm tempted to change the name of this message to a living harvest. What is this called now? The harvest of the earth. A living harvest. I wrote that down, the title, the harvest of the earth. I'm going to keep that there. I'm going to keep that there, the harvest of the earth, because this is about harvesting from the earth those faithful in Israel who go to their death loyal to Jesus Christ and loyal to the precepts. But it also includes, put this in your beautiful little heads out there, all of you, put this in your beautiful little heads, that also included in the harvest of the earth is us. Not in this book, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you're getting tired of this revelation stuff, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Read about the living harvest. Read about those who are alive at the coming of Christ. We will be taken, not by a sickle, but by the Lord himself. He will have nothing in his hand. He himself will come for us and embrace us and take us to be where he lives.